This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys. It was a draw against Philadelphia, and Mike and I are sitting here scratching our heads still. We bring in our soccer guy. He is the analyst for Atlanta United. You hear him right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, Jason, I guess my first question is, all the possessions, 71.6% of possessions, yet the goals are not there, and the shots on goal are not there. Why?
It's a good question. The penetration was a little bit better this time around. It wasn't – I don't think it was as good as Monterrey was. I think the Monterrey game, Atlanta United played better, was more dangerous going forward. It was much improved from Cincinnati last week. It's still not at the level it needs to be. Possession's great, and having that much possession is a great place to be. You have a much better control of the match. But when you're not creating more chances and you're not scoring more goals, one mistake can hurt you. And you were hurt by a simple mistake early in the second half, and you're running uphill after that.
All right, big guy, you got to help me out with these rotations. Now, I understand that, you know, the diamond formation, something different, but what is Michael Parker's doing where he was? Nagby is a winger. Lorenowitz up front. What was going on? Explain why we're doing that.
Okay. Let's explain a couple things, because there's a couple fallacies in there. Nagby never played out wide. That was in the graphic, but Nagby played as a 10 to start things. He moved into a 4-2-3-1 later, but he's played that role before. He wasn't playing a wing back, I guess would be the better way to put it. I've seen people go that way. Parker's moved to left back because he changed the formation to a 4-4-2 about midway through the first half, because Philadelphia was a non-existent attacking on the right side. You were able to move pieces around because of what the match was giving you. I think that's something that you're seeing more and more teams do. It's something we haven't seen in Atlanta very much. It's something we don't see in MLS very much, with a lot of tactical flexibility. It's something we've seen in these last two matches, and I think it's worked. Go back to the move to Parker's to left back. Best chance of the first half was Parker sending a through ball up to Pitti Martinez. His cross to Joseph goes off the crossbar. That was the best play in the first half for me in the attacking side. But then you move it around to a more of a 4-2-3-1 in the second half, and I thought the team looked even better. They improved, in my opinion, in the attack as the match went on because of those moves.
I thought so in the second half. I did.
But where are the shots on goal, Jason?
I know. They're not there. And you needed Ezequiel Barco to come in and create some of that spark, some of that penetration. And let's go back and dissect that one a little bit. The play starts with him on the left. He moves the ball centrally. It swings around to the right, but Barco doesn't stop. And that's the thing that is not happening enough right now, the movement off the ball. You're not getting enough of it. And there's two different ways to do it. Barco showed one way with his goal. Go back to the goal against Monterrey. It started with Joseph out deeper in the formation, pulling defenders with him, plays a 1-2 with Nagby. He gets in behind defenders. You're not getting in behind defenders enough. Right now, it's too easy for the opposition to sit, play a line of four or a line of five, play three or four midfielders in front of that, and make Atlanta try to find a way through it.
It's Jason Longshore, guys. Follow him on Twitter at Longshoe here on Dukes and Bell. What's the difference in Miles Robinson, or is there? What? Why is he playing as well as he has been playing as of late?
Confidence. I think it's as straight up as that. He's always had the physical ability. He's better on the ball than he was when he first came to Atlanta United. That's a definite. But it's confidence. And it started last year with Atlanta United, too. You started to see him late in that season be put into different situations where he would be paired up with a young center back next to him, and he had to take charge. Now, when you pair him up defensively with a player of the caliber of Rogelio Funes Mori from Monterrey, who's one of the best forwards in CONCACAF, or you pair him up with a different type of challenge like a Fafa Pico, a speedster, Miles Robinson's getting the job done. I think he's the best player for Atlanta United so far this season. I think he is a national team player for the United States very, very soon.
It's our man, Jason Longshore. Guys, follow him at Longshoe when you want to talk soccer, and he can answer your questions almost 24 hours a day. I mean, don't call him. You can just tweet him. He joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Jason, so what's up with Petey Martinez? I put it out there yesterday. He's either out of condition, thought it was going to be too easy up here at the MLS, or they're just not getting him the ball because we know what he's capable of. The guy's a human highlight reel, but we're not seeing any of it.
Yeah, different league, different style. I think that's part of it. I think he's feeling the pressure as well. I mean, let's get in Petey Martinez's head a little bit right now. He has the year that he did with River Plate. They win Copa Libertadores. He goes to become a legendary player at that club. A lot of money spent for him to come to Atlanta, a place he's never played in this league before. He hasn't played against teams like this before. It is a different style. That's part of it. I don't think he's fully fit. He didn't really have much of an off season because River Plate's run in the Club World Cup went pretty deep into December. I think that's part of it. I also think he's feeling pressure. I mean, he's being compared to Miguel Almiron, who is lighting it up in Newcastle right now. And Miguel Almiron is a completely different kind of player than Petey Martinez. And that's tough. It's tough for him to fit into this team. It's tough for him. I think some of the comparisons and the reactions from the crowd. He's not Miguel Almiron. He's not that kind of player. He's not a guy whose game revolves around speed. He's a guy whose game revolves around skill. And right now, with him feeling that pressure, trying to make things happen, maybe pressing a little bit too much as well, it's not coming off. I hope this little break for him with the Argentine national team, I hope he gets a chance to talk to some guys with Argentina who have been through this, who have left the country, had to deal with these kinds of pressure situations, and have come through it on the other side.
Jason, we're talking Atlanta United, guys. We're going to talk NFL coming up in about 15 minutes. NFL Blitz is on the way. The goals were conceding. They look easy, okay? And I want to put that in context. Mm. This is not, you know, 6, 7, 8 passes, and all of a sudden, boom, and it's these goals have looked easy that we're conceding. Why?
Sloppy. I'd say sloppy would be the word, maybe more than easy. The one against Philadelphia, it's a turnover in your own half. And that's the drawback with a lot of possession. You have to be good with it. You have to be good with it on the attacking end because you're going to have the ball a lot. You need to create chances. You have to be good with it on the defensive end. And Atlanta United plays in their own half a good bit. They want to build up their own attacks. When you play in your own half and you lose possession, you're going to be exposed. You're going to have players who have committed to go forward. This has happened before with Atlanta United. Possession's a higher priority now. It's a higher priority to be better with it. They can't have these giveaways in bad spots on the field.
It is Jason Longshore on the waitfor.com hotline. I mean, on the goal, Eric Rometty. And Eric Rometty's had an awful start to the season. Would you agree?
I wouldn't say he's had an awful start to the season. I think he's the one who looks the most tired at this stage. I would have loved to have gotten him out of there last night, and I don't know what the plan was before Jeff Lorenowitz had a foot injury and he had to be subbed out, because Rometty, by the end, I mean, the guy's fighting for you. He's doing the best he can do physically. Mm-hmm. He was not sharp, and he had bad giveaways in the second half, and I honestly put it down to fatigue.
And he's my guy. I'm wearing the jersey. I felt embarrassed. Jason, one last question. We were talking about this with the guys in my section. What about like Barco and Shea running simple overlaps? Or, you know, I know we talked last week. Just going over the top. Is that just not what DeBert does?
Well, going over the top, I mean, Barco's not really a guy you want to go over the top with. The overlaps, that's part of a bigger picture about penetration and getting in behind. And when I'm talking overlap, the way I'm talking about it is, look, go back to the first half on the right side. We saw Tito Villalba in possession a couple times, and Julian Gressel made the run to the outside of him down the flank, and he didn't get service. And sometimes you're going to use that as a decoy. Didn't really come off well on that side. On the other side, Barco and Shea, Breck's movement, I thought he was a little tentative at that stage when he came in. I would have loved to have seen him go for it more and make those runs and try to get that service in. I think Barco's a guy is going to reward players for runs they make off the ball. Right. That's why I think more of the attack needs to go through Barco and Nagby when he's on the field, because they reward the movement off the ball.
International break. How will it affect us for fans who are not familiar with this again? Or will it at all? We've got to wait at least 2 weeks, right, until our next MLS contest. How does it affect us?
Well, you're looking at a week where Pitti Martinez is off with Argentina, and he's playing in Spain. He's playing in Morocco. Joseph Martinez has one game for Venezuela against Pitti Martinez in Argentina in Madrid. You have Tito Villalba with Paraguay. They're in the States. They're playing at Red Bull Arena. They're playing out at Levi's Stadium. They play Mexico and Tata Martino. Andrew Carlton is with the U.S. U-20s trying to earn a spot on their World Cup squad. There's reports that Ezequiel Barco will be called up to Argentina's U-20 squad, and Miles Robinson will be called up for a U-23 pre-Olympic qualifying camp for the U.S. You're going to have a lot of guys resting this week. You're going to have a couple of training sessions, a lot of off days. Next week, you get back into a regular flow. But you're not going to have those guys for many days ahead of the game in Columbus. I think it's the next week where you have that bye between Columbus and New England is where you see the biggest jump for this team forward.
We're not scoring a lot of goals. We understand there's a work in progress, but we're not going to see Frank DeBoer go back to what we saw Tata doing last year. We're not going to be seeing a version of a 5-3-2 or a 3-5-2, I should say. That's just not going to happen.
I'm not so sure about that, to be honest.
Okay.
I think, based off his responses, though, the move that I would think to see when Franco Escobar is available is to a 4-3-3. Not for sure,
okay,
but he mentioned how he had to go to three in the back when he lost Escobar. I think if he has Escobar, he wants to play him as a right back.
Mm. Jason, appreciate you jumping on with us as always, guys. And you get a little break here as well?
Yeah, a little bit. The twos are off as well, so get to catch up a little bit.
All right. Great deal.
Again, it's just tough because we've been spoiled. I mean, and I don't mean that to be a Weisenheimer. It's been so good, and you know, man, the flowing style, and now it's flowing like mud.
It's starting to flow. I really think it is, but it's not where it needs to be.
No.
And by the time you get to New England, it needs to be there because you have 4 points from these home games that you have to pick up now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.